The National Federation of the Blind knows that blindness is not the characteristic that defines you or your future.
Every day we raise the expectations of blind people because low expectations create obstacles between blind people and our dreams.
You can live the life you want.
Blindness does not hold you back.
Thank you so much, President Rick Abono. We're so happy to be here this evening. Before we start our presentation, I want to take just a moment to talk to you about the evils of betting, especially when you lose. Last fall, I made a friendly wager with my good friend, Sean Callaway. I bet that our very own Houston Astros would destroy the Washington Nationals in the World Series. Well, it didn't quite work out that way. So tonight, I'm paying off my bet. I promised that I would wear a national shirt at the opening ceremony of this convention if the Nats won. Texans always pay their bets. So Sean, I'm about to stand up for just a moment so that everyone can see that I am indeed wearing this lovely national shirt. That's enough of that humiliation. So I guess I'll also be paying off another bet soon because I bet Ronza Othman that Texas would register more people than Maryland at this convention. And that didn't quite work out so well for me either. So Ronza, you can expect that Texas care package coming your way soon. Last summer, when President Rick Abono gave me a couple of minutes to announce that our 80th anniversary convention would be held in Houston, the crowd went wild, and I was so proud that everyone wanted to come to the city that I consider my hometown. Unfortunately for us, the coronavirus had other plans for this year, but Federation has never let a little thing like a pandemic stop us from celebrating our history and our future. So this evening, I'm here to represent Texas, because even though the convention is anywhere and everywhere, it's definitely still a Texas thing. So as you might expect, this opening is going to include a lot about Texas. And we Texans always have plenty to say about our great state. But I'll admit, though, that when President Rick Abono told me I had 30 minutes, I was a little bit intimidated, and I knew I needed help. So tonight I'll be enlisting a crew of people to welcome you to the best convention ever. I also want to thank the crew that helped me to get this event ready. The planning committee consisted of Kimberly Aguilar, Jose Marquez, and Raul and Stacy Gallegos. Thank you so much, y'all. We could not have put this program together without their help. Our first crew member tonight is Sylvester Turner. Mayor Turner oversees our great city. And even though we couldn't hold our convention in person, he wanted to welcome us to Houston just the same.
I was born in Louisiana, down on the Ohio. Raised on shrimps and catfish, mammy's good gumbo. I got the rambling fever, said goodbye to Ma and Pa. Cross that old Red River, this is what I saw.
Hello, I'm Sylvester Turner, mayor of the city of Houston, the fourth largest and most diverse city in America. I'm sorry that I could not welcome you in person with the world-class hospitality Houston is known for. On behalf of the entire city, we were looking forward to hosting you for the 80th National Convention of the National Federation of the Blind. But now, we are looking forward to showing off the best of Houston when you visit in July 2023. There is no doubt that the COVID-19 pandemic has affected every aspect of our lives. I applaud the resilience, innovation, and flexibility you are demonstrating this week, moving your week-long program to a fully accessible virtual experience speaks to your determination and grit. Houstonians also know a thing or two about resilience, innovation, and grit. After the tremendous impact of Hurricane Harvey in 2017, Houstonians came together to rebuild better, stronger, and more resilient than ever before. Incredible partners like the National Federation of the Blind of Texas were critical in providing direct services and recovery resources to blind Houstonians. I want to commend Mark Riccobono, your national president, and Norma Crosby, president of the NFB of Texas, for their leadership and partnership with the city of Houston. In Houston, we understand that to be the most diverse city in America, everyone needs to have a seat at the table. As a former state representative, I work to support and advance legislation that would increase the independence of Texans with disabilities. And now, as the 62nd mayor of the city of Houston, I have elevated the leadership of the mayor's office for people with disabilities to be part of my executive staff. I have empowered the office with the resources and executive support to make our city the most accessible in the country. In fact, after our former mayor's office for people with disability director, Maria Town, was selected to lead the American Association of People with Disabilities in Washington, D.C., the National Federation of the Blind, Jernigan Institute, was kind enough to return Gabe Caceres to Houston to pick up where Maria left off. I am glad to have Gabe on my team leading my office for people with disabilities and demanding accessibility in everything we do. I can't leave you without acknowledging that this year we are celebrating the 30th anniversary of President George H.W. Bush signing the American with Disabilities Act, ADA, into law on July 26, 1990. This was a monumental step forward for equity and inclusion, but 30 years later, people with disabilities are still facing too many barriers to every aspect of American life, including employment, housing, healthcare, and education. As we remember and celebrate the 30th anniversary of the ADA, let's recommit ourselves to remove these barriers so together we can transform your dreams into reality. By doing so, we will be able to recognize that low expectations, not disabilities, create obstacles between blind people and their dreams. You can live the life you want. Blindness is not what holds you back. I hope you have a wonderful 2020 National Convention, and I look forward to welcome you in person in Houston in 2023.
Thanks so much, Mayor Turner. We really appreciate you taking the time to welcome us while you're so busy trying to keep our city safe. Our second crew member is Kimberly Aguillard. Many of you know Kimberly as a dynamic leader in the Federation, but did you know she recently completed her PhD? Well, she did, and we couldn't be prouder of her. So welcome, Dr. Aguillard.
She's as bright as the Dallas sky. She always holds her head up high. She loves the company of her family. She has faith in God's greater plan. She trusts I'm a good man, and that's why I'll always believe. She's like Texas, and she likes me.
Thanks, Norma. Bless your heart. I'm glad we get a few minutes to kick off this convention. And I'd also like to set the record straight about Texas. There are so many wild stereotypes floating around about this state. For example, people say we talk incessantly about Texas. Like, we brag all the time about how big it is, how good Whataburger is, how we have the best live music, how we strut around wearing cowboy boots and saying, don't mess with Texas. I don't know where people get this stuff. It's just not true.
Kimberly, that is true. We're doing it right now, and we're probably going to do it throughout this entire opening ceremony.
Yeah, I guess that wasn't a good example. What about that weird notion that we're obsessed with football?
True again.
Well, okay. We do have the most expensive and largest high school football stadium in the country, and no respectable Texan gets married on a Saturday during football season. But what about how everyone thinks we just all ride horses around downtown Houston?
Well, we don't do that every day.
Exactly.
We only do that during Rodeo Houston and, during parades. And, of course, the police do that all the time.
True again. Okay, what about those assumptions that we're not cultured? That's just absurd.
Well, of course it is. We're all foodies, right? And that's true. We even have our own food pyramid recommendations consisting of four major food groups for optimal health and happiness. Barbecue, kolaches, tacos, and beer. We don't have a taco truck on every corner yet, but we are lobbying for it. And that would be the height of sophistication for a Texan.
We've pretty much blown all those stereotypes out of the water. But you know what? People don't give us enough credit.
Well, there definitely are lots of things we should get credit for, but what'd you have in mind?
Well, did you know that Houston's the most diverse city in the country and over 145 languages are spoken here?
I did. Hey, did you know that we have a huge pride parade every year that attracts almost 750,000 people?
Of course. Love is love, y'all. And I work at the Texas Medical Center, which you know is the largest medical center in the world, with 7.2 million people from around the globe visiting each year for state-of-the-art healthcare.
Yep, everything's bigger in Texas. Well, you know, I don't work at Rodeo Houston, but let me tell you that it includes concerts with major stars like Beyonce. Yep, Beyonce has definitely played Rodeo Houston. The rodeo is just as diverse as the rest of Houston, when 3,000 trail riders come from all over the state and Louisiana. You'll find cowboys of all ethnic backgrounds. A lot of the rides include families, and they often ride in on our major highways and take over one of the largest parks in the city before they strut their stuff in a huge parade that kicks off the rodeo. You'd think people would have some road rage because they do tend to slow down traffic when they come. But we're all used to it. We just sit back, turn up the king, George Strait, and enjoy. The rodeo is a historic part of our proud Western culture. But it also showcases our friendliness and it celebrates our diversity.
Right. Rodeo Houston is also a great example of Texas being all the things people assume that we are. And still something different and special that many people may not understand. It's true, we do say howdy, and even our toddlers have cowboy boots, but we also make sure to represent what our city is really all about. We employ diverse talent, and kids of all ages and backgrounds get to participate, even though it's loud and boisterous and less than subtle, like the rest of Houston. The rodeo also raises more than $27 million for college scholarships.
That's our town. It's a lot of what you think it is, but there's always more than meets the eye.
More than you can shake a stick at. In fact, some of our other crew members have more to say about this. Jose Marquez is a leader in our affiliate, and Adriana Mendez is a participant in our mentoring program. They'll introduce you to the Latinx culture that we all love. You can take Texas out of Mexico, but I'm pretty sure you'll never take Mexico out of Texas. Now, excuse me, y'all. I got to track down a taco truck.
Bienvenido a Texas. Welcome to Texas. My name is Jose Marquez. I am the first vice president of the National Federation of Blind of Texas. I am first generation Mexican American. There are many of us here in Texas. My parents emigrated to the United States in the late 70s, and they formed a nice, large Mexican family. My father has worked in construction most of his life, and my mom has worked in the fast food industry, specifically Whataburger. You locals, you know what I'm talking about. If you're an out-of-towner, you gotta try it out. They came to the U.S. chasing the American dream. They came with nothing on their backs. And they always instilled in us the values of a good education and hard work and determination. Thanks to all of that, I was the first one in my family to graduate from Texas A&M University. Giggle Maggies, I know there's probably a few Longhorns who are cringing right now, but thankfully, Texas is a big state and there's room for the both of us. And I was lucky enough that I was able to enjoy both worlds. We, for example, we enjoyed fajitas and chicken fried steak, tortillas and cornbread, tacos and hot dogs, and spicy lasagna. Yes, I did say spicy lasagna, invented by my lovely mother. The first time I tried it, I told her, Mom, lasagna is not supposed to be spicy. She said, in my home it is. And if there's one thing you know, you should know about a Mexican mother is that you do not argue with her about her food. As far as learning Spanish and English, I learned Spanish at home from my parents, and I learned English at school. And I also picked up some English thanks to Sesame Street and Barney and Friends on PBS. My father, on the weekends or sometimes during the week, would take us to the Houston Astros baseball games. And afterwards, or the next day, he would take us to a charreada, which is a Mexican rodeo. And so for many years, we didn't celebrate Thanksgiving. My mom didn't know how to prepare a typical Thanksgiving meal, but over the years, my family, my sisters and brothers, all of us learn how to prepare one. And so now we do partake in a traditional Thanksgiving meal with all the, you know, fixings and the Mexican side dishes and salsa. You got to have salsa. So as you can see, Texas and Mexican culture are intertwined here. We blend in with each other. We are like a big salad bowl or a taco salad bowl. Well, I think I'm just making myself hungry now. If there's one thing also about Texans and Mexicans, is that we enjoy our music. And mariachi is the soul of Mexican music, and Texas has embraced it. For me and for most Mexicans, if you heard mariachi music on a Saturday morning, it meant it was time to get up and clean. But as far as that, mariachi music is something that I enjoy, I think you will enjoy, and I'm going to let Adriana Mendez, one of our mentees from our robust National Federation of Blind of Texas Mentoring Program, talk to you a little more about it.
Hello, friends and fellow Federationists. So yes, definitely, mariachi does play a huge role in our culture, especially here in Texas. We have a lot of Mexican Americans. Like Jose, my family immigrated here to the United States in 1999, and I grew up as a Mexican American. Now, being raised in a Mexican family, I was always listening to mariachi music. Vicente Fernandez, Yolanda del Rio, you name it. All of those awesome mariachi singers. And now, typically when people think of mariachi, they think of some guy on a horse and wearing a hat, doing a grito, right? But that doesn't necessarily apply to this circumstance. Mariachi does have a deeper origin than you would have thought. Mariachi began as the music combined between the Mexican Indians, the Spanish, and even African culture. So the music began around the early 1800s, and the typical instruments were usually the guitar, the bass, and violin. In 1927, the trumpets were added, and so was the harp and the guitarra de golpe and the vihuela. I am proud to say that I am one of the people who plays the vihuela in my local high school mariachi group. Yes, I said high school. Mariachi plays such a big role in Texas that now even high schools and middle schools have implemented it into its curriculum. I'm proud to announce that we have competitions yearly and that my high school has won 2 competitions. We got state for the Texas Association of Mariachi Education, and we also got state for UIL, the University Interscholastic League. As you can see, mariachi does play a very big role in Texas. Now that we've spoken a lot about mariachi music and its origin, let us show you all what our music is about.
Para no verlo caído, o quizá como un venado, que por listo y presumido cuando anda de enamorado, lo matan desprevenido.
Ay, 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 las nubes van por el cielo, los pescados por el agua, el oro está bajo el suelo y el amor en las enaguas.
Mi prieta linda, ¿qué voy a hacer si tú me quitas este querer? Mi prieta linda, ¿qué voy a hacer si tú me quitas este querer?
¡Se toca la huasteca! ¡Sí, señor!
De valentones y cuando está en su casa se les caen los pantalones. También sucede otra cosa con los que son fanfarrones, cuando ven la cosa en serio les pasa algo en sus calzones.
Ay, 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 las nubes van por el cielo, los pescados por el agua, el oro está bajo el suelo y el amor en las enaguas.
Mi prieta linda, ¿qué voy a hacer si tú me quitas este querer? Mi prieta linda, ¿qué voy a hacer si tú me quitas?
Oh, oh.
más que sus costillas, güerita.
Is strong and resilient, just like the National Federation of the Blind. Both our state and our affiliate exemplify the love and diversity that makes our organization so vibrant. We aren't able to join hands in a literal sense this year, but in 2023, we'll make up for lost time. In the meantime, we will lean on each other for strength as we move forward. Houston is known for many things. Rodeos, the world's largest medical center, being diverse, and being home to the best chicken fried steak on the planet. But we're also known as Space City. So here, to make sure you get an out-of-this-world welcome to our national convention, is former astronaut Anna Fisher, who has the distinction of being the first mom in space.
Greetings to the 2020 National Federation of the Blind Convention. I am NASA astronaut Dr. Anna Fisher. I have an undergraduate degree in chemistry and went on to become a doctor specializing in emergency medicine. I was privileged to be in the first group of six women selected for the U.S. space program in 1978, and then to become the first mother to fly in space in November of 1984, on the first mission ever to bring back hardware from space. Two very expensive communication satellites whose rocket engines that were supposed to take them to a higher orbit failed. I later served as chief of the space station branch of the astronaut office at the very beginning of the International Space Station program, as we learned to work together with our international partners to build this magnificent laboratory. Every day for the last 20 years, astronauts and cosmonauts have continuously lived and worked on the International Space Station, doing vital research that directly benefits all of humanity. You and the Federation are also involved in serious work to help humanity, both by helping blind people and thereby contributing to the progress of everyone. We travel in space to push the boundaries of humankind. You travel on Earth to expand the boundaries of blind people and to fight the low expectations that hold you and all of us back. Together, we seek technological innovations to change the world. Our goal is to venture to other planets. Your short-term goal is to develop vehicles that will let you independently travel the streets and highways of our beloved planet Earth. You replace barriers with broadened opportunity. Your emphasis on literacy, on helping the blind enter the fields of science, technology, engineering, and math means that one day soon you will be addressing a future convention from space, or maybe even from another celestial body in the universe we share. Because of your work, you will be a part of exploring the new frontier of space, a frontier that is more vast than any humans have ventured to explore. With your work, you will not only raise the expectations for blind people, but the expectations for all of us, as we replace ignorance with knowledge and limitations with opportunity. Challenge is what unites us, and the determination to meet that challenge is what moves us forward. On behalf of NASA, I am glad to participate in opening the largest meeting of the blind in the world. I am sorry that we could not come together in Houston due to the COVID pandemic restrictions on large social gatherings, but am pleased to join you online. Though I cannot be physically with you and you cannot physically be with one another, we know what ties us together to make the world better for all mankind. Today and in the days to come, we pledge to give you our best, and we know from your history and your commitment over the past 80 years that we will get nothing less than your best as well. Thank you, congratulations on your anniversary, and may this be your most successful gathering ever.
Somebody